Have you ever felt that way? Like you needed to be reminded who you are to God? Sometimes, you know, things aren't going too well. We don't feel loved or appreciated. We ask, God, where are you? Where are you? He's always there, always. And at other times, you know, we're feeling great, things are going well. Maybe we don't even think about that. But yet God is there too, always reminding us how much he cares for us and loves us. want to put the scripture up, Donna? Okay. From 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And certainly, we do that here during the joys and concerns. We do that in our own devotional time, our prayer time. At least we're supposed to anyway, cast all our cares upon him. We tend to focus on that because a lot of times we're going through something. We need his help. We need to be relieved of something. And that is always our focus, and that's what people tell us. Cast your cares upon him. But I want to focus a little bit more on the other part, for he cares for you. That's the reason that you can cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. And I have a little story to read, which is a really good one. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I read a little excerpt from an article that was an interview with Beth Moore. She's a well-known Bible teacher. She puts Bible studies together and everything, and Mary and I were involved in one of hers at one time. But this story is a true story based on an experience that she had at an airport. And because she's a fairly well-known teacher and everything, she does some traveling and whatever, but she was alone in this airport, waiting for her flight to board, and she had this experience. And I'd like to read this to you, because it's a good demonstration of just how much God does care for us. On April 20th, 2005, at the airport in Knoxville, that's in Tennessee, waiting to board the plane, I had the Bible on my lap and was very intent upon what I was doing. I'd had a marvelous morning with the Lord. I say this because I want to tell you it is a scary thing to have the Spirit of God really working in you. You could end up doing some things you never would have done otherwise. Life in the Spirit can be dangerous for a thousand reasons, not the least of which is your ego. I don't know if you've ever been asked to do something different by the Lord, or strange, or whatever. It can be a scary thing. But, she goes on, I tried to keep from staring, but he was such a strange sight. Humped over in a wheelchair, he was skin and bones, dressed in clothes that obviously fit when he was at least 20 pounds heavier. His knees protruded from his trousers, and his shoulders looked like the coat hanger was still in his shirt. His hands looked like tangled masses of veins and bones. The strangest part of him was his hair and nails. Stringy gray hair hung well over his shoulders and down part of his back. His fingernails were long, clean but strangely out of place on an old man. I looked down at my Bible as fast as I could, discomfort burning my face. As I tried to imagine what his story might have been, I found myself wondering if I'd just had a Howard Hughes sighting. I don't know if anybody remembers about Howard Hughes. He was this famous recluse. Nobody even knew what he looked like half the time. Then I remembered that he was dead. So this man in the airport, an impersonator maybe? Was a camera on us somewhere? There I sat, trying to concentrate on the word to keep from being concerned about a thin slice of humanity served up on a wheelchair only a few seats from me. All the while, my heart was growing more and more overwhelmed with a feeling for him. Let's admit it, curiosity is a heap more comfortable than true concern. And suddenly I was awash with aching emotion for this bizarre-looking old man. I had walked with God long enough to see the handwriting on the wall. I've learned that when I begin to feel what God feels, something so contrary to my natural feelings, something dramatic is bound to happen, and it may be embarrassing. I immediately began to resist, because I could feel God working on my spirit, and I started arguing with God in my mind. Oh no, God, please, no. I looked up at the ceiling as if I could stare straight through and into heaven. And I said, don't make me witness to this man. Not right here and now. Please, I'll do anything. Put me on the same plane. But don't make me get up here and witness to this man in front of this gawking audience. Please, Lord. Can you just picture that? There I sat in the blue vinyl chair begging His Highness, please don't make me witness to this man. Not now. I'll do it on the plane. Then I heard it. I don't want you to witness to him. I want you to brush his hair. The words were so clear, my heart leaped into my throat and my thoughts spun like a top. Do I witness to the man or brush his hair? No brainer. I looked straight back up at the ceiling and said, God, as I live and breathe, I want you to know I am ready to witness to this man. I'm on this, Lord. I'm your girl. You've never seen a woman witness to a man faster in your life. What difference does it make if his hair is a mess if he is not redeemed? I'm going to witness to this man. Again, as clearly as I've ever heard an audible word, God seemed to write this statement across the wall of my mind. That is not what I said, Beth. I don't want you to witness to him. I want you to go brush his hair. I looked up at God and quipped, I don't have a hairbrush. It's in my suitcase on the plane. How am I supposed to brush his hair without a hairbrush? God was so insistent that I almost involuntarily began to walk toward him as these thoughts came to me from God's word. I will thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. I was quoting 2 Timothy 3:17. I stumbled over to the wheelchair thinking I could use one myself. Even as I retell this story, my pulse quickens and I feel those same butterflies. I knelt down in front of the man and asked as demurely as possible, sir, may I have the pleasure of brushing your hair? He looked back at me and said, what did you say? May I have the pleasure of brushing your hair? To which he responded in volume 10, little lady, if you expect me to hear you, you're going to have to talk louder than that. At this point, I took a deep breath and blurted out, sir, may I have the pleasure of brushing your hair? At which point, every eye in the place darted right at me. I was the only thing in the room looking more peculiar than old Mr. Longlocks. Face crimson and forehead breaking out in a sweat, I watched him look up at me with absolute shock on his face and say, if you really want to. Are you kidding? Of course I didn't want to. But God didn't seem interested in my personal preference right about then. He pressed on my heart until I could utter the words, yes, sir, I would be pleased, but I have one little problem. I don't have a hairbrush. I have one in my bag, he responded. You could see that coming, right? I went around to the back of that wheelchair and I got on my hands and knees and unzipped the stranger's old carry-on, hardly believing what I was doing. I stood up and started brushing the old man's hair. It was perfectly clean, but it was tangled and matted. I don't do many things well, but must admit I've had an notable experience untangling knotted hair mothering two little girls. Like I'd done with either Amanda or Melissa in such a condition, I began brushing at the very bottom of the strands, remembering to take my time not to pull. A miraculous thing happened to me as I started brushing that old man's hair. Everybody else in the room disappeared. I don't think she means literally. I think she just means that they were oblivious to her. There was no one alive for those moments except that old man and me. I brushed and I brushed and I brushed until every tangle was out of that hair. I know this sounds so strange, but I've never felt that kind of love for another soul in my entire life. I believe with all my heart, I, for that few minutes, felt a portion of the very love of God. That he had overtaken my heart for a little while, like someone renting a room and making himself at home for a short while. The emotions were so strong and so pure that I knew they had to be God's. His hair was finally as soft and smooth as an infant's. I slipped the brush back in the bag and went around the chair to face him. I got back down on my knees, put my hands on his knees, and said, "Sir, do you know my Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I do." "Well, that figures," I thought. He explained, "I've known him since I married my bride. She wouldn't marry me until I got to know the Savior." He said, "You see, the problem is, I haven't seen my bride in months. I've had open heart surgery, and she's been too ill to come see me. I was sitting here thinking to myself, what a mess I must be for my bride." Only God knows how often he allows us to be part of a divine moment when we're completely unaware of the significance. This, on the other hand, was one of those rare encounters when I knew God had intervened in details only he could have known. It was a God moment, and I'll never forget it. Our time came to board, and we were not on the same plane. I was deeply ashamed of how I'd acted earlier, and would have been so proud to have accompanied him on that aircraft. I still had a few minutes, and as I gathered my things on board, the airline hostess returned from the corridor, tears streaming down her cheeks. She said, "That old man's sitting on the plane sobbing. Why did you do that? What made you do that?" I said, "Do you know Jesus? He can be the bossiest thing." And we got to share. I learned something about God that day. He knows if you're exhausted, you're hungry, you're serving in the wrong place, or it is time to move on, but you feel too responsible to budge. He knows if you're hurting or feeling rejected. He knows if you're sick or drowning under a wave of temptation. Or he knows if you just need your hair brushed. He sees you as an individual. Tell him your need. I got on my own flight, sobs choking my throat, wondering how many opportunities just like that one I had missed along the way, all because I didn't want people to think I was strange. God didn't send me to that old man. He sent that old man to me. Life shouldn't be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly shouting, "Wow, what a ride! Thank you, Lord." That's the way it should be. It's an amazing story, isn't it? There are three ways, or three sides to this that we can look at. First, of course, is Beth Moore, a believer, well-known, just minding her own business in an airport, reading the word, and God touches her and asks her to do something very strange. And she didn't understand why. She knew that the Lord was drawing her attention to this old man. She thought it was to witness to him. She didn't know that he already knew Jesus. All the Lord wanted her to do was to brush his hair. to make him more presentable for when he went home to his wife, after having been away from her for a long time, having open heart surgery, probably losing a lot of weight, looking a lot different, and now he's on his way home to see her. So there's that perspective and how God touched her and used her. And she felt like never before the love of God streaming through her to this man, to the extent that there was nobody else around her. She didn't recognize anybody else. It was just her and that old man and God. What an amazing thing. And then, of course, there's the old man. He was the one in need. He knew the Lord. Maybe he was the one that needed to be reminded, tell me again, once again, Lord, who I am to you. Maybe he was feeling that way. An old man, used up, just had open heart surgery, saddened by the fact that he hadn't been able to spend time with his wife. But here, God showed him who he was to him. God showed him just how much he loves him. That he would have somebody in the middle of an airport offer to brush his hair, just so he could go home and look more presentable to his wife. That's an amazing thing. That's how much God loves us. To do that for him. Maybe he felt forgotten, I don't know. But he was touched. And there he was on the plane, sobbing because he was touched by God and by God's love. He probably knew, I mean, he was a believer, so I'm sure he knew that God loved him, but maybe not to that extent. Now he was truly touched by God. And then, of course, the airline worker who saw him sobbing on the plane. And she comes down to ask Beth Moore, why did you do that? What made you do that? And she had an opportunity to witness about the love of God to this person. We don't know. We don't understand the ways of God. They're far beyond us. But one thing that we can rest assured of is that God loves us so very, very, very deeply. Maybe someday he'll ask us to do something strange like he did with Beth. I don't know. But if he does, I just pray that we're all ready to be used of him, to feel the love of God flowing through us to someone else. She said she had never had an experience like that before. She felt overwhelmed with his love. She finally understood to a much greater extent just how vast, how emotional, how powerful God's love truly is. And look what happened. Not only was she touched as a result of being obedient to God, but the old man was touched and knew God's love in a greater way. And then Beth got to witness to somebody who was not a believer, who didn't understand and was probably shocked. Why would you do something like that in the middle of an airport? And she got to explain the love of God to this other person. We don't understand the ramifications of the things we do. Sometimes the simplest of things affect others in the biggest of ways. Our God is an amazing God. He really is. But I do want to mention to you that he loves each and every one of you just as much as he loved that old man. Just as much. And is willing to do even more, so much more for each one of us. because of his love. We just need to be open. Open to receive, open to share, open to be used of him in a mighty and powerful way. Even though we don't recognize it at the time, even though it might scare us. But I think it is so true, what she says here right at the end. Life shouldn't be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body. God didn't put us here for our own enjoyment. He put us here to be an example of his love, to share that love with others. And yes, to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly shouting, "Wow, what a ride. Thank you, Lord." That's the kind of life I think that we should all be striving for. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think you've shown us just how much you do love each and every one of us. This is a wonderful story, Lord. And I'm sure that there are many, many, many more like this that could be told. But I pray that it does make an impression on our hearts, Lord, to always be obedient to you when we know in our own hearts that this is you speaking to us, asking us to do something, even though it may take us out of our comfort zone. It's not easy. A lot of times we get scared. We're afraid that we might make a fool of ourselves. And I'm sure we can all identify with that. But Lord, it is still so much better to be obedient to you and see your hand at work. For you are indeed a mighty God. And there are many wonders that you would want to show us and allow us to be a part of. So Lord, I just ask you to help us to open our hearts to you wider than ever before. That you might touch us, that you might use us, that your love might flow through us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.